Hey, everybody. Welcome to another edition of ATL Developments with Jeff Smith. We are recording up inside the Business Radio X studios in Alpharetta, where we are talking about all things economic development through the Metro Atlanta area. As many of you know, I'm a mortgage banker with Assurance Financial. If you need a loan, if your realtor needs a great business partner, please reach out to me. We bring happy clients to your closing tables. You can find me at gsmith@lendtheway.com, like lead the way, except we lend money. So, you know, here in Atlanta, one of the biggest things that people love to complain about is traffic. No doubt it's something that all of us have to navigate through as we plan our daily schedules. But, you know, I always try to look at the positive side of these things here in Atlanta, which we have a lot of positive things to talk about. And there are a lot of cities across this country that don't have the luxury of complaining about traffic. It's most certainly a byproduct of the success that we've enjoyed here and are continuing to enjoy here. And in the world we live in, or at least the world I live in, I kind of see people in two camps. I see the traffic people and I see the transportation people. The traffic folks are the angry ones who kind of just want it to go away. Transportation folks have delved into the issues. They know how complex of an issue it really is, and maybe more to the point, how expensive it really is to fix some of these issues that we're having here. And so it's easy for someone to say, why don't they just bring MARTA up Georgia 500, but it's a lot harder for that person to follow that up with exactly how they are going to come up with the $300 million a mile to do that. And it's even harder for them to get those voters who approve or disapprove of those funds being allocated to get on board with that expansion. So it's a complex issue, but we've had some major developments over the past 2 years with the expansion of MARTA to include more counties in its service and funding area, the reconfiguration that is underway at the Georgia 400 I-285 intersection, and the newly released lane additions up Georgia 500. And few people in the state have been as closely involved in the projects as my guest, Brandon Beach, Republican State Senator representing the 21st District up here in Alpharetta. You know, I first met Brandon when I was a newspaper reporter about 20 years ago, covering the city of Alpharetta. And Brandon had just been elected to the city council. Since then, Brandon took over as president of the North Fulton Chamber of Commerce, where he served dutifully for 15 years before stepping aside to take the reins of the North Fulton Community Improvement District. He was first elected to the Senate in 2012 and served as chair of the state's Economic Development Committee, and for the last several years has served as the state's very important Transportation Committee. Senator Beach, how are you doing, sir?
Good, good. Thank you for having me on Business Radio X, Jeff. It's good to be here. And before we get started, I want to thank you for all you do for the business community and growing business and making sure that we're continuing our economic development engine up here in North Fulton.
Thank you, Brandon. I appreciate you saying that. You know, I know you. I've known you for a long time. We've known each other. And I always start off my show, because Atlanta is such a melting pot, I always start off by asking folks where they're from, because I'm always interested in hearing how they got here. Now, the first three guests I had, Al Nash, Lamar Wakefield, and Phil Houston, all are natives, so it kind of backfired. But finally, yeah. I got somebody on here that's from somewhere else, and I know where you're from, Brandon. Why don't you tell us a little bit about where you're from, kind of what it was like there, and kind of what brought you to Atlanta?
Yeah, I grew up in New Orleans and went to LSU, and after I graduated, I remember my junior year of college, Shell Oil Company leaving New Orleans and going to Houston with 10,000 jobs, and then all the ancillary jobs that followed it.
Right.
So there was a halo effect of jobs leaving. And when I graduated, I couldn't work in New Orleans, my hometown and the culture I grew up in. I either had to look at Dallas or Atlanta.
Yep.
And we chose Atlanta, my wife and I did, and it was the best decision we've ever made. We've raised our kids here. We love Atlanta. We miss our culture and our food and so on, and some of the family back in Louisiana, but we are so happy to be here in Georgia, and it's provided us incredible economic opportunities. But one of the reasons for that is because the elected officials, and one of the reasons I got involved in elected office or public service, was I wanted to make sure that the money was reinvested in education. You know, in Louisiana, they took the lottery money and they spent it on boondoggles and just didn't spend it on reinvesting in education. And I will just tell you, Jeff, the reason we're so successful up here is the foundation of our education. We've got great K through 12 schools. Now we have a great technical college.
Yep.
And we've got Georgia State has a campus up here. So education is the cornerstone and the foundation for our success. And that's why I got involved. I wanted my kids to be able to come back here and find a job. And fortunately, my daughter's here working in Alpharetta at LexisNexis, and my son's working for a rock company, Martin Marietta. And so we were very fortunate that we were able to keep our kids here.
Yeah, and over the years, Brandon, I've stolen a lot of the things you've said and amplified them a little bit, and that's one of those things is a lot of times growing up here in Atlanta, we don't realize how fortunate we are. We don't know what it's like out in other parts of the country. I'm living in the same place I grew up in. My parents did me the favor of moving me to a place where jobs are aplenty, there's plenty of work here, the education, the schools are good, as you said, and now I'm raising my children here, and I hope to help better that as well in the future so that one day they'll be coming back here just like yours are. So thank you for what you've done there, and thank you for saying that. So I've got several issues that I'd like to jump into, but before I do, I think a lot of our listeners kind of have no idea what goes on down at the Capitol. We kind of know what goes on with our city councils and all that kind of stuff, but down at the Capitol, it's a little bit harder to read, I guess. So as chair of the Transportation Committee, I was hoping maybe you could kind of give us some insight as to kind of what that committee does, what kind of issues you guys look at, and how those issues become something that's tangible that we actually see that's going on.
Well, what happens is a senator can drop a bill, any senator,
yeah,
on any issue.
Yeah.
And then the lieutenant governor, the presiding officer of the Senate, then assigns it to a committee.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's transportation related, it's coming to our committee. And I chair that committee, and then we vet the bill and make sure it's good for transportation. But we also work on things like right now we are doing a freight and logistics study. We've tackled the transportation funding with House Bill 170. Last year we passed House Bill 930, which was the ATL, the transit bill.
Yep.
And now we're going to look at what we call freight and logistics. Right now about 17% of the freight coming out of the port is on rail. The rest is truck traffic. We are determined to get that freight on rail up to 35% to 40%, and try to eliminate some of the truck traffic around 285. Because as you know, when you're on 285, there are 18-wheelers everywhere. Sometimes you're surrounded by them. And
right.
We are very fortunate that the port grew 60% last year. So it's the fourth largest port in the country, and it's the only port in the United States that actually exports more than it imports. And so we're very fortunate. It's an economic engine, the Savannah port. But with that brings a lot of truck traffic because Atlanta is the logistics capital of the eastern seaboard, not just the southeast, but really kind of the eastern seaboard. Everything comes to Atlanta and then is redistributed. And when you fly out of Atlanta, you can look down outside the plane and you'll see distribution centers everywhere with trucks, and that's all logistics. Walmart has a big logistics center down there, Amazon,
All
those companies, and the products come in and then they're redistributed.
It's interesting to tie the two. You wouldn't think that how big of an effect that the rail line has on traffic,
right?
Getting more rail versus more trucks out of
the
way.
That's the kind of things the Transportation Committee does.
Yeah.
We're looking at any way innovation-wise or any way we can reduce congestion and increase mobility.
So you've got the committee, and so you'll have experts come and talk to you,
come
or
talk
are you
to us.
Sending
we engage
consultants
Norfolk
out?
Norfolk Southern, CSX, and we'll talk about, like right now, one of the other things we're going to talk about is Hartsfield-Jackson International Airport. It's number one airport in the world, passenger-wise.
Right.
But it's not even in the top 10 from a freight standpoint. So we need to work on getting more freight out of Hartsfield-Jackson Airport on air. So we're working with the airport to figure out ways to do that. So
gotcha.
We can compete with Louisville and Memphis, which are big hubs for
now. Since you brought up the airport, that was an issue this year, too, as far as the state trying
came
to take over control.
That came through our committee.
Yeah, what was the reason behind all that?
It passed 6-5 out of committee, went to the floor of the Senate, passed, and then it died in the House. Well, listen, it's an economic engine. The airport on a daily basis runs very well with Delta, running it, getting your baggage to baggage claim, getting through security, and flights running on time. But there has been corruption in the procurement process. Make no doubt about it. There has been corruption. People have been indicted.
Yeah.
People have went to jail. And we just don't need to have that. We need to make sure we have a very transparent process. And part of the problem is you have one person, the mayor, who there's one general manager and reports directly to the mayor. So there's not a lot of oversight from the city council.
Not a lot of checks and balances.
So we just think that there should be some checks and balances. When it was going through, I didn't like to use the word takeover. I like to use, let's make this process more transparent.
Right.
And so I think that, you know, Mayor Keisha Lance Bottoms is looking at that. I think she's put some new people in place, mm-hmm. and she's going to make some changes that make that process a lot more transparent and a lot better.
So perhaps the bill didn't get passed, but still good is being done.
Right. It brought attention to the problem.
So probably make it fixed just maybe in another way.
Right.
Well, so that's a prickly political issue there. You've been no stranger, really, to somebody over the years that I've admired as far as when you see and think an issue is important, you don't necessarily listen to the folks that tell you, hey, you might not want to talk about this. MARTA was clearly one of them, and I want to talk a little bit about MARTA right now. And I know you were a proponent of bringing rail up 400, and you tried to work for that for a little bit. But one of the biggest things you were behind was bringing this whole ATL concept and bringing these counties together. I remember, you know, that video you did two, 3 or 4 years ago or something, time flies, but you did that video where you tried to take transit from Gwinnett County all the way over to Cobb County.
Right.
It took you something like 8 hours or something like that. It was a very clever video. It got a lot of attention. It brought attention to the fact of how fragmented the transit systems were. But I wonder if you could just tell the listeners, I don't think people understand how important that is, that those counties got brought in together from a funding perspective and all that. Just kind of tell us a little bit about why that's important, how that went down, and maybe a little bit about what it's going to look like.
Well, it's important for two reasons. One, economic development, and two, quality of life. Mm-hmm. I mean, listen, to your point, Jeff, you just said it. We had a very fragmented system. We had MARTA in three counties. Yeah. You had Greta going through all the 13 counties. You had Cobb doing its own thing, Gwinnett doing its own thing, and none of them communicating or collaborating with each other. So to cross jurisdictional lines was a very tough journey, and that's what I tried to portray in that video I did, was that if you try to go from Cobb to Gwinnett or Gwinnett to Cobb, it was you could do it, but it was not an easy journey.
Right.
And one of the things I learned on that trip was, even to plan my trip, I had to go to three different websites. I had to go to the CCT website, the MARTA website, and the Gwinnett website. Then I had to pay three different methods of payment, cash. Then I had to buy a Breeze card. Then I had to pay cash again because they didn't take the Breeze card in the Gwinnett or the Cobb transit systems. So if we're ever going to attract what I call lifestyle riders and get them out of their cars, they're not going to go to three websites, pay three different methods of payment, and take 4 hours and 15 minutes out of their day to go 38 miles. It's just not going to happen.
Exactly.
So I just made the decision, if we're going to be in the transit business, let's be in the transit business, and let's do it right. And the way to do that is come together and have a system that is a seamless, efficient, clean, and most of all, safe ride. So that's why we created the ATL, and that's what's going to happen by 2023. Everything's going to be rebranded to the ATL. Everybody will be in one system, and you'll be able to get on, like, say, for example, you'll be at the Gwinnett Arena, and you'll be able to get on the Purple Line, for example, and go straight to the Brave Stadium without changing and paying two different ways of payment. It'll be one seamless process, and that will attract more what I call lifestyle riders. The other thing is this. Let me tell you what I've seen, Jeff. I was president and CEO of the Chamber for 15 years doing economic development. And 16 years ago, I can tell you the CEO of the company made the decision on where to locate his or her company based on where they wanted to live. So if they wanted to live in Sugarloaf, they went to Gwinnett. If they wanted to live in Golf Club of Georgia, they came up here to Alpharetta and to Windward Parkway. You fast forward to today, that CEO is still making the decision on where to locate his or her company, but it's based on one decision: where's the talent? Talent is dictating everything. And I think the best example of that, and I don't mean to shoot at my Gwinnett friends, but if you look at NCR moved to Gwinnett County from Dayton, Ohio 13 years ago.
Yep.
And if you would have told the CEO of the Chamber of Commerce in Gwinnett that they were going to turn around 13 years later and move down across the street from Georgia Tech in that nice new NCR building, they would have said, that'll never happen. Success lives in Gwinnett. They'll never leave Gwinnett. You ask the CEO, and he tells you the reason they left, they want to pull that talent out of Georgia Tech. And a lot of that talent wants to live on the Beltline, the Virginia Highlands, have the transit accessibility, walkability accessibility, and so on. So I think, in my opinion, talent's dictating a lot of that. Same thing happened up here in Alpharetta. We had a company up here with 600 employees called Athena Healthcare.
Yeah, yeah.
They left and went down to Ponce City Market, and it's because their employees couldn't take transit up 400. There is no more reverse commute. There's as much traffic north and south in the morning and in the afternoons now. It's an equal balance. There's no reversible lane concept that would work on 400 because there's traffic both ways. And his employees wanted to live down there, so they're at Ponce City Market, and they're paying top dollar for rent down there. But to attract the talent, it was worth it to Athena Healthcare to go do that.
Well,
and so that's what's driving a lot of decisions now is talent.
And we had Lamar Wakefield as my guest, and he was talking about Avalon and how the rents they're getting in Avalon for the office space, for the Class A office space, is rivaling that of places in downtown because it's all about the talent, like you just said.
Right.
And people want to be – they're all with low unemployment the way it is. Employers are fighting for employees and living, being able to have those areas.
Well, let me say this.
Yeah.
The other thing that I noticed was about 8 years ago.
Yeah.
I saw Jeff Parker, who was then the Keith Parker. Jeff's the new MARTA
president.
CEO. But Keith Parker, before him, about 8 years ago, I saw him going on economic development missions with Governor Deal.
Uh-huh.
And
I see.
The light bulb went off. I said, why is he going? They must be talking about transit. And the other the issue is the CEOs now, just like they have to check off a box to have a lead green energy building office, and they got to check that box. The other box they have to check off is transit opportunities for their employees. And I want you to think about this. Mercedes-Benz, what do? They sell automobiles. State Farm Insurance, what do? They sell automobile insurance. Pulte Homes, what do? They build houses with garages for automobiles.
Right.
All three of those companies have automobiles in their business model, and yet all three of them located on a MARTA line. Matter of fact, State Farm, they have an escalator that goes down from the MARTA station
right
into their lobby.
That's right.
And so they are all in on transit. Now, whether their employees are taking it or not, I don't know. But it's a tool in the toolbox to recruit and say you have an opportunity to take transit.
Well, and they're investing
investing in that.
Hundreds of millions of dollars to put a campus next to a MARTA station.
And
to me, every MARTA station has almost become oceanfront property throughout Atlanta.
Exactly.
And
it used to not be that way. Now
that's
it
right.
is.
Now it is. And a lot of the MARTA stations are having to be reconfigured as well,
because
they weren't necessarily built for that originally.
Right.
But, you know, this segues into my next question. And so, you know, years ago you were pushing for, hey, if we want our businesses to stay up in Alpharetta, we need to get that MARTA line up there because businesses are going to want that kind of thing. And there was a big push, and I think it made it up to about Roswell, but most other politicians north of that kind of went against it. And it was now we've just saw the new plans of the reversible or the express lanes coming up and down 400.
Correct.
And I want to talk about a little bit about that, but it makes me wonder. I mean, is we tried for years to convince people that bringing rail line up 400 was a good idea, and there was just so much pushback. Is this whole express lane deal, is that kind of us saying, okay, we're just not going to happen, but maybe we can get bus rapid transit?
Going to get bus rapid transit.
Right.
We've got $100 million of investment in five transit stations that are going to be built up the 400 corridor. And I would encourage your listeners to go to the GDOT website and look at the animation of what the new express lanes are going to look like and what the new transit stations are going to look like and how it's going to work. It is a pretty cool video, and it really outlines what's going to happen. And it's a $1.8 billion investment. But you were right. When I first started talking about transit, my colleagues were throwing rocks at me saying,
Correct.
Hey, this is not our issue. Why are you doing this?
I
said,
remember.
It is our issue. It's an economic development issue. It's a quality of life issue. And we better take our head out of the sand and start thinking about transit. And now it's kind of the cool thing. Now everybody's talking about saying, hey, we want bus rapid transit, we want transit, we want light rail. And I will tell you this, I think you're going to even see some new technology coming out. I was just presented not long ago with a concept called J-Pods.
Mm-hmm.
And they are they're little cubicles. It's almost like a gondola, but it's a little bit different. And it's on a cable, and it goes, and it's like an elevator, basically. But instead of going vertical, you go horizontal. So you get in, and I think they're going to test it out at Hartsfield-Jackson Airport to a hotel and to a parking lot. So you'd get in these J-Pods. They're doing them over in London. And it's there's no driver or anything, and you press
like a ski lift kind of deal,
kind of very similar to that, but you're enclosed, and you get in there and you press A, and it takes you to the parking deck. You press B, it takes you to the hotel. You press D, it takes you to the convention center. So it's got maybe four stops, just like an elevator would have four story stops.
Sure.
And you just pick which stop you want to go, but it's all vertical, and it's going to be built with private investment. So I think we're going to be looking at that. And the governor spoke to us today, and he talked about drone taxi cabs.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
That.
I think I do think there's going to be some innovation that's going to come along that's going to help us. I don't think anything's a silver bullet. We can't build roads, and that's not the silver bullet. We can't build bridges. That's not silver bullet. We can't just rely on innovation. I think it's going to take a combination of roads, bridges, transit, innovation, light signalization, and all the different technologies there. I can tell you this, the week of the Super Bowl, I went with the commissioner down to the command center, and we watched the New England Patriots get in a bus at Georgia Tech after practice. And they had a police escort. But through the command center, they were able to make all those lights green. They never stopped. They left Georgia Tech, went down North Avenue, went to the hotel, and never stopped. And we're using that technology now mostly
to
for
move traffic.
Well, to move traffic, but also for emergency vehicles. So if there's a fire or ambulance, they can just right from there make every light green to get to the fire.
Sure.
Or get to the, you know, whatever the accident is.
So on the release of the express lanes, all of a sudden I started hearing from a lot of my friends, why are we not pushing rail up 400? You know, and why are we doing this instead? Why are we doing more asphalt? But in my mind, it kind of seemed like, well, hey, where were you 5 years ago when we were really trying to fund it? You know, when we actually were very close to getting an extra half a penny sales tax to fund this kind of thing. Where were you then?
Yeah.
And this is something. We're doing something, and we're getting that bus rapid transit, which is a mass transit system. It's not the rail system, but
I tell you, it's not just a bus either. It's a very high class, very comfortable. It'll have Wi-Fi in it. It'll be a good experience. Mm-hmm. And one of the things I've talked to Jeff Parker about now, the new CEO, I said we've got to make sure that when someone gets on our trains or our buses, our express buses, that it's a great experience. If we make the experience good and it's comfortable and it's got the Wi-Fi throughout the tunnels and they don't lose their phone calls or they don't lose their web, you know, their internet connection, people will then eventually start taking it. And
part of that, it comes with the branding of the ATL.
Correct.
I think that MARTA, I don't know, it's got a reputation, you know. We're upgrading the brand with the ATL. Tell us a little bit about that.
I think branding is important. I was adamant that we change the brand to the ATL.
Yeah.
One, you fly into the ATL. And then you get an ATL card, get on an ATL train, ATL bus, ATL express bus. Right now, if you go downtown today, right down there by the SunTrust building and the Bank of America building, you will see a Gwinnett bus, a Cobb bus, a Greta bus, a MARTA bus.
That's right.
I mean, it's just a hodgepodge. And we need to have one brand and know that you're going to get on the red line, purple line, orange line, whatnot, and it's going to take you to where you need to go, in a seamless, efficient, clean, and most of all, safe manner. And if we do that, I think people will be attracted to technology. One of the things I will tell you, I mean, to transit, one of the things is I know when I take Uber now, I'm glad I'm in a car and somebody else is driving because I can check my text messages, I can email. I can't do that anymore with the hands-free laws. So if I can have a good experience and stay ahead on my business, I'm all for that. And
you
I think
more
that
people
could drive.
Involved.
So.
The thing I find interesting behind the scenes, a lot of people don't understand, bringing those counties together on this thing too, you had a lot of, it was a prickly political issue. I mean, if you're Gwinnett County, you're in charge of your own transportation system. Now all of a sudden you're being asked to cough up money and some folks are having to, give up some of their say over what goes on in the transportation system. Is bringing together chiefs in different kitchens.
Right.
Can you talk a little bit about the behind of how did you get them on board with this?
Well, Chairman Nash cut a good deal with MARTA. She was going to get three board seats, so she's going to have some input, a lot of input, actually. But listen, they need to realize that we're a region now.
Yeah.
And you can't just be in an island by yourself. You've got to be able to cross jurisdictional lines if you want to be competitive and if you really want to offer your citizens the what they're demanding. They want to be able to get into Atlanta. They want to be able to go to Cobb County to a Braves game, and they want to do it, again, in a seamless, efficient manner. We do that, and we can get things done, and I think that's what's leading it. I think the citizens are going to demand it, and then the employers are going to demand it, and that's what's going to – it's going to be market-driven, if you will, and that'll make it happen.
All right, so I've also heard from some other folks about this whole 5G thing.
Yeah.
And I know the state paved the way for infrastructure for that to go through mm-hmm. a lot quicker.
Correct.
Some jurisdictions are happy about it. Most are happy about it. Some maybe aren't. But could you tell us a little bit about 5G so new? What exactly does that mean? I know it means autonomous cars can't really yeah. operate unless there is a 5G system if we're headed in that direction.
Yeah.
I don't know if there's anything you can talk about there.
Well, you know, coming from my roots as a city council member, I want you to know I believe in home rule.
Yeah.
I believe in, you know, local jurisdictions being able to decide. That being said, when you're really trying to implement something that's coming, which is autonomous vehicles, and I've ridden in one, mm-hmm. and it's a different feeling when nobody's driving except this computer, you better make sure that you've got the right sensors, the right small cells, the right striping on the road. You know, it's way over my head. I went to LSU, but I can tell you, yeah. you better have the proper infrastructure in place so that car stays in the lane it's supposed to and was able to read all the sensors it needs to read. And so one of the things, I don't want to say we're forcing communities to do it, but they've got to get on board because the technology's happening so fast, we have to get ahead of the game. And so I think that's why we did what we did. And I think eventually the smaller cities and municipalities will be grateful for what we did because they'll be able to be on the cutting edge of jobs and opportunities.
Because otherwise, if they had to go through every single jurisdiction, then it would probably push 10 to 20 years, 30 years
yeah,
out.
Yeah, it would just yeah. – they'd have a whole set of rules in 159 different counties or
yeah.
you know 500-plus cities.
Yeah.
And so we just decided there needs to be one set of rules, and this is it. And so that's – you know, it's kind of like North Fulton did that voluntarily years ago. The five cities got together.
Mm-hmm.
Well, really six. Mountain Park had a seat at the table too. But they got together and decided, hey, if we're going to be in the film business, we need to have one set of rules of how to close a road down or how to, you know, if the movie producers come up here and want to film something in North Fulton. So it was very good because now the producers of these movies know that if they come to North Fulton, there's one form to fill out. It's not different in Sandy Springs or Johns Creek. And the chamber took the lead on that, Bethany Usry.
Yeah.
And she implemented that. And it's been a huge success. Now, they did that voluntarily, but it just shows – it showed the film industry that if you're going to deal with these five cities up here, you don't have five different, you know, forms to fill out or procedures to go through. This is how it works. And if you want to film a movie up here, here's how you get your permits, how you close a road, how you – get your food trucks.
So now it's easier for them to
do
business.
It's kind of a
here.
One-stop shop yeah. type deal. You follow me?
Yeah. So now it's easier for them to do
so
business up here.
Much
so
easier.
Where are
they
going to do
know
business?
The rules.
Come
and,
up
and most of those companies in the film business or any company, they want to know that they want to know the rules and they want to have some stability, if you will.
So one other issue I want to touch on real quick is the state just came up when this was maybe 3-4 years ago or something. There was a huge increase in the amount of money the state allocated towards transportation funds across the state. And that was a really big deal at the time, and a lot of people didn't understand how much money was being spent on transportation, especially, I guess, capital improvement projects. You know what I'm referring to.
Right, it was House Bill 170. What we
yeah,
did,
yeah.
Jeff, we went from a sales tax to an excise tax.
Right.
What we were doing, we were taxing the price of gasoline. So if gas mm-hmm. got up to $4 a gallon, GDOT was making a lot of money.
Yeah.
If it got down to $1.90 a gallon, they didn't have enough money to cut the grass in between the expressways.
Yeah. Okay.
So what we did, we knew how many gallons we were selling. So instead of taxing the price of gasoline, we started taxing the gallons.
Right.
All right. And we did go up 6 cents. I'm not going to lie. We raised the gas tax for the first time since the 1970s, I believe. But what it did do, it gave GDOT a reliable source of income, number one, because they knew how many gallons they were selling. And then we also, because we went up 6 cents, we thought we would bring in about $1.1 billion extra revenue, new revenue, to build roads. But because what happened was the gallon of gas price went down,
mm-hmm.
guess what happened? More people drove. They drove on vacations. They drove more. We sold more gallons. We brought in $1.8 billion.
Right.
So we brought in more money. And the key to that was, Jeff, we were so dependent on our federal program. And when you take federal dollars, you have to go through up to 22 different steps.
I've heard you say this before, yeah.
To use that money. And it can take anywhere from 3, 4, 5 to 7 years. If you have a problem with an environmental study or a Corps of Engineering study, it can slow the process down. So what we did.
And that was kind of the difference between the McGinnis Ferry exit you had told us about
right.
before and the Encore Parkway Bridge that y'all did.
Correct. And, you know, the best example is this. In my district over in Cherokee, we're building Highway 20 from 575 to Cumming. It's a 2-lane road. We're going to build a 4-lane road. We were using federal dollars before we passed House Bill 170. It's going to be $130 million of federal financing.
Mm-hmm.
And we were having to do a northern route, a southern route, and that route. We would have to look at three different routes, do environmental studies on all three routes, look at right-of-way acquisition on all three routes. It was going to take 7 years. So when we passed House Bill 170, I went to Commissioner McMurray and said, can we move this out of the federal program and put it in state funding, state program? And we did. $130 million, we're already building the first leg of that from 575 to Scott Road. That would not have happened if we were under the old federal guidelines. So what the state, going through state guidelines, gives us a lot more flexibility. It expedites projects and gets orange barrels out there at a quicker rate. And that's the key. We got to keep building stuff a lot quicker. So we're using that $1.8 billion extra revenue on capital projects.
Right.
We're still using our federal dollars, but we're using that to cut the grass, to do bridge repair, some of the things that aren't as cumbersome as far as all the regulations.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally does.
So that's what we're doing, and that's why people are so happy now that we passed House Bill 170, even though at the time everybody, oh, that's a tax increase. And now they look at it as an investment. And listen, I think the role of government is very simple. It's there to protect us. That's the number one thing, to protect our citizens. That's the number one priority. But then after that, you and I can't go build a road. I mean, I guess we could, but we don't go build your own roads.
It'd take a while.
We don't build our own sewer systems. I mean, there are certain things, the role of government, to build infrastructure, to build sewer systems, to build roads and bridges. And I will tell you the big thing that I'm preaching right now is, again, about what we just talked about. As important as roads and bridges are, we got to make doggone sure we got the right fiber in the ground, the right sensors, the right small cells, so that we can be competitive with Florida and North Carolina and Texas when we go for these 21st century cutting-edge jobs. And we've got a lot of bright ideas coming out of Georgia Tech and our university system, Georgia and Georgia State, but we got to make sure we got the infrastructure so that they can implement these high-tech companies. So, you know, the fintech business, for example, that's a huge business right here at 285 and 400. They call
right.
it transactionality. We have so many fintech companies.
How many
companies.
Percentage of oh, it's, 75% of oh, all financial 80, transactions
yeah, 80%
in the
of every time you hit your credit card comes through
Atlanta.
Yeah.
Well, so as we kind of get closer to the end here, what issues this session came up? Anything you want to talk about that are going on this session or
No, I mean, I think
new or we hit it all. Do I know everything?
Yeah, I think
already?
We hit it all. I mean, I think we the rural broadband and making sure we have the proper infrastructure for rural Georgia so they can do telemedicine and they can do autonomous vehicles down the road. We're putting all that in place so that they can, be ready to. If they don't have that infrastructure, they mm-hmm. can't be competitive from an economic development standpoint.
Right.
So.
So lastly here, you've thrown your hat in a ring for a bigger political job, 6th District, Republican primaries. When is that, 2 years?
It's next May.
Next May.
Will be the primary.
Right,
we'll qualify in March. May will be the primary, and then November 3rd is the general election.
So, as we end this show here, give you a minute or two, but what was the decision making and going, what was your thought process and going to that? You've been, I guess, in the Senate since 2012.
I'm in my fourth term.
You're in your fourth term now, and
listen, I love state government.
Yeah.
And I think we do a good job. We balance our budget, we cut taxes, and we've cut regulation. And I want to take those same conservative principles that Georgia's had, and the same values of a Georgia citizen to Washington. And I want to go up there and try to make a difference. And make a difference. And I will tell you, We've done it here in Georgia, and it can be done in D.C. And one of the things I did this year, I passed a urging resolution to Congress. Every time you fill your car up with gas, 18.4 cents a gallon goes up to D.C. My resolution stated, let's keep 10 cents here, block grant it back to the states, but it has to be spent on capital construction, or it can't be spent on the commissioner's salary or buying a new F-150. It's got to be spent on innovation, putting fiber in the ground or new roads, bridges, transit. It's got to be spent on new construction so we can build more capacity. And that's what I want to do. I want to go to Washington. You go up to D.C. right now, there's two blocks of USDOT. They don't put a shovel in the ground. They push paper from one desk to the next. And it's crazy. We need to keep that money here and build roads. I want you to think, we've got a system right now that Eisenhower built, the interstate system. It was built for 200 million people. Right now we're at 300 million people. In 47 years, they're predicting we could be at 500 million people. We will be driving on a system built for 200 million people with 500 million people if we don't start getting the money back to the states and expediting these projects. Infrastructure is key to economic development and quality of life. And so that's why I'm running. I want to go up there and fight for the citizens of the 6th District and make sure that we can get our dollars here to make their life better. Because I can tell you, as, when I go around the 21st District or if I'm in the 6th Congressional District, traffic is the number one concern.
Right.
It's not a sexy issue, but I can tell you people are sick and tired of sitting on 400 in gridlock. They're sick and tired of sitting on 285 on gridlock. I can tell you this. We opened that North by Northwest corridor, the longest span of reversible lanes in the country, 30 miles. Goes
up 75. Yeah.
We have gotten more positive emails about I'm getting home 30 minutes earlier to my family. I'm even in the general purpose lanes, they're getting home 15 minutes faster. So it has been nothing but positive impact on that project. And that was a great public-private partnership. And so those are the kind of things I want to go up and fight for Washington. I want to make sure we're securing our borders. But I just think that the main thing is I want to go up there and take the conservative principles, values of the 6th District up to D.C.
Okay. Well, Senator, thank you for coming on my show. You know, and what you said kind of resonated with me that, you know, I've told this story on the show before where I was in another major metropolitan city, ran into a bunch of state senators there. And when I told them I was from Georgia, they just gushed about how amazing Georgia is and opened my eyes. You know, I grew up here. I lived here. And you can't see the forest from the trees sometimes about how great we've got it here in Georgia. And so I thank you and your colleagues and the governor and everybody for what y'all have done to really elevate our status around the country and make us a shining light, really, where a lot of states hope to aspire to be to. So thank you for that.
Okay. And, well, thank you for having me. Appreciate it. Thank you for what you do.
My pleasure. Absolutely. And, folks, I guess that's it. That kind of wraps up our show for this month. We are putting together guests for next month, so keep your ears open. And have a great month. Enjoy the spring.